Thank you, Father, for this wonderful time. And praise you for everything that you've given us, everything that you showed us, everything that is in your hearts and your love that you have for us. We praise you for your love, for your holy city. Pray that you bless us today through your speaking, through your word, that our hearts can be moved by you and that you would fill us completely with your will, that your will be done. Thank you, dear Father. You deserve all praise, honor, and glory, wisdom, might, and power. Thank you, beloved Father. We love you. Shall we say together, Father, we love you. Father, we love you. It's so wonderful to have such a time of fellowship, not just a time of fellowship, but also the appearing of the Lord. I think in these days, the Lord really revealed himself to us. He wants to show himself to us so that we can see the goal, that we can run after the goal. The goal of the glorious city is truly most holy, highly holy, praise the Lord. In this time, we talked about the building up of the holy Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, by experiencing the spiritual offerings. Building the new Jerusalem by experience, the spiritual offerings. And there's one thing that we haven't had fellowship yet about, and that's the drink offering. Let's read Leviticus. It's mentioned here. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 37. Leviticus 23, verse 37. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering and a grain offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything on its day. Drink offerings. So we see here there is also a drink offering. It's a special part of the spiritual offerings that we have seen already. And the drink offering is always added. I read Numbers 15. Here the offerings are mentioned again. Numbers 15, verse 5. And 1/4 of a hin of wine as a drink offering you shall prepare with the burnt offering or the sacrifice for each lamb. So this, the drink offering is an enhancement. It's an addition to each of the offerings. And it comes with a bigger measurement based upon how big the sacrifice itself is. So the size of the lamb, if it's a lamb, you add 1/4 of a hin of wine. But if it's a ram, it's a third. And if you bring a young bull, you bring half a hin of wine. So the amount of the drink offering is proportionate to the size of the sacrifice. And this drink offering is just poured out. So it's like if you take this cup of wine, like we hear at the table, it's more than that, at least 1.5 to 3 liters of wine. And it's just poured out. Nothing is drunk. It's just taken and poured out before the Lord. This is how the Lord wants us to bring the offerings. And in the New Testament, Philippians, Paul mentions the drink offering. He talks about his own life in Philippians 2, verse 17. He says, yes, but even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. Even if I am being poured out as a drink offering. So the drink offering has to do with us people. He talks here about giving his entire life for the priestly service. He was willing to pour out his entire life for the sacrifice and service of the faith of the saints. Because this wine in the drink offering shows the blood of the Lord. And he was really willing to give all of his blood for the saints, for the priestly service among the saints. This is really strong. Who among us is willing to do this? We're difficult to sacrifice our sleep, our sleeping time, or to lay aside a vain or unimportant thing for the priestly service. Sometimes this is already too much for us, too difficult for us. But Paul said he is willing to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of the faith of the saints. He was willing to pay to pour out his blood, and he wasn't even willing. He did it. And 2 Timothy 4, that's a second passage regarding the drink offering. Timothy was the last epistle written by Paul before he died as a martyr. He was really slaughtered for the Lord. He was killed for the Lord. And in 2 Timothy 4, he says, in verse 6, 2 Timothy 4, 6, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. He really lived his life completely for God, for God's purpose, for nothing else. That's what he poured his life out for. He lived as a martyr. He said, I am already being poured out as a drink offering. That means his drink offering was not at the time of his death, but it was already before. Already in his life and all the years before, he was pouring out his life for the Lord, for the priestly service. In Philippians, it says very clearly, for the sacrifice and priestly service of the faith of the saints, for what the Lord wants. This is really strong, to be willing to give your own blood, to give your whole life. In Acts, the book of Acts, he talks about how he gave his life. Acts chapter 20 is a chapter about the drink offering. He meets the brothers and the elders in Ephesus. And how did he live his life? He says in Acts chapter 20, verse 18, when the brothers arrived to visit him, when they had come to him, he said to them, you yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time. Already this is not easy. How I serve the Lord as a slave with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. So already at the time of his life, he began to pour out his life as a drink offering. And we today may have a portion of this. We may experience Christ as someone who gives himself, who pours himself out for his body, for the priestly service, for the priesthood. So we don't just take from the Lord. We give to the Lord. We pour ourselves out. He poured himself out. Verse 20, Acts 20, verse 20, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly from house to house. He was so diligent. From house to house, he poured himself out with everything that the Lord gave him. It didn't come from himself. The drink offering is not something that we give of ourselves. Anything that comes from ourselves is not an offering. Anything that comes from ourselves cannot please God. If we are only doing things with our own strength, that is no sacrifice. That is no offering. But Paul was so strengthened by the Lord, so supplied by the Lord, that every day he was willing to pour himself out again. And with this drink offering, in Numbers chapter 15, we see the same measure of wine that was taken for the drink offering is also used as oil for the meal offering. It's the same measure of wine for the drink offering corresponds to the measure of oil for the grain offering. So the Lord gives himself to us as the Spirit in the same measure that we pour ourselves out for him. If we want to have more of the Lord, we should not live for ourselves. If we're only seeking the saints when we have a problem, pray for me, I cannot go on in this or that matter of my life, and then when things are going well again, we're all over the place, but not here, then we cannot experience a drink offering. The drink offering goes together with the portion of oil that we receive from the Lord. So the Lord gives us a measure of his Spirit as the oil, the grain offering, and then we give this as our portion of the drink offering. The Lord gave Paul so much, such a large portion, because he knew Paul was willing to give it all back. It's a mystery not to live for ourselves. If we are only living for ourselves, also we see the church for my own profit, for my own use. The Lord wants to save us from that mindset. That's what we want to have fellowship about this morning, to say, Lord, today I want to be somebody who gives themselves to you, who gives themselves for the need of the saints through you. Isn't that good? And it's so effective, so useful when we all take this responsibility to give ourselves for the spiritual need of the saints, for the priesthood. Ask yourself this week, how often have you or given yourself that the need of another was satisfied? It's a good question. And tell the Lord, Lord, I also want to live such a life. Like Paul said, he went from house to house. He wasn't just thinking about the meeting times. He didn't go from home meeting to home meeting, but he visited the people in their homes. He went to this house. Then he went to the next house of the saints. He gave the saints something that was profitable. Yeah, anything that was profitable, it says in Acts 20, verse 20. Imagine you go from household to household, but not just to receive a nice meal, a nice food, but to serve the saints with what God has given you. It's really an example for us, a role model for us, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. Now, Acts 20, verse 21, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So many meetings we talked about repentance. Have you spent time to repent in these days? You can really start to repent to God when He has spoken to you personally. There is no repentance because the brother here in front preaches and tells you to repent. That won't work. Even if he says it in such a compelling manner and you say, "Oh, I must repent," but how long will you repent? One day? Repentance lasts longer than one day. A true repentance takes more time. And for this, the Lord needs to speak to us. It's so good to repent to God. Sometimes we don't notice how far away we are from God. Unfortunately, I come to conferences again and again, and the Lord gives me a deeper repentance, but I realize how I already thought, "Oh, I have attained a good status," but the Lord shows me, "No, there is more to repent for, more repentance." Praise the Lord. In Acts 20, 22, "And now, behold, I am bound in the Spirit." So Paul is not free. "I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there," verse 23, "except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me." What do we expect when we serve the Lord? What's your expectation when you give yourself completely to serve the Lord? You are encouraged by the conference and you say, "Lord, I want to serve you." Right? It's very sovereign that the cup from the Lord's table is still here on the table. What will come? Bonds and afflictions. When we really give ourselves to serve the Lord in Zion, it's a mystery, but the bonds and the afflictions and the trials and the tribulations will come with many wonderful experiences, but it will all come. Paul knew bonds and afflictions are waiting for him. In Romans, it says to take on the needs of the saints. Do you like to take on the needs of the saints? Yeah, in the end, you are sharing the need of the saints. Do you like to share their needs? Or would you rather not have anything to do with the needs of the saints? Let's just have joy, rejoicing. But then you cannot accept and take on the needs of the saints. Of course, we don't carry the needs among ourselves. We bring them together before the Lord. The Lord is the recipient. But the drink offering has to do with the wine, with the blood. That means you don't take the easy way, but you are willing to carry the burdens of the saints voluntarily. Paul did not have to be forced by people, by man, but the Spirit bound him. The Spirit compelled him. Nobody in the church can force you to serve. Are you forced to serve here? You're not forced to serve here. The Spirit in us does not let us rest. It compels us, even if it means afflictions and persecutions, the Spirit will increase. If you want to pour out a fourth hin of wine, the Lord will give you a fourth hin of oil. And if you want to bring a bull, then you even get a half hin of oil. This is 3 liters of oil. That's a lot of Spirit together with the drink offering. What do you receive such a fullness of Spirit for? Do you need 3 liters of anointing oil? Do you need 3 liters of olive oil? 3 liters of the Spirit? Nobody knows that only for themselves. It's for the holy, glorious city. Acts 20, verse 24, he says, "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself." in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. You know, the decisive question here is, what is precious to you? That's what's important here. In order to experience a drink offering, it's the city of God and the Lord must be precious to you. You can't pour yourself out as a drink offering voluntarily if the Lord and the city of God are not precious to you. It goes all the way to your blood. You are tested to blood. At the end, Paul really poured out his blood, and the Lord himself is the ultimate fulfillment of the drink offering. Everything he did on the cross and all the suffering before, he poured out all of his blood. He lost so much blood because God, Jesus, is the true drink offering. And how is it possible for him to give himself like this? Only through love. There is no stronger power than love. This love allowed the Lord to give himself completely. And this is what moved Paul to give himself as a drink offering. Ephesians 5, it says, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Verse 25, Ephesians 5, 25. It's easy to say, I love the Lord and I love the church. Okay, the next question is, how much of yourself do you give for it? The drink offering shows the measure of love. The measure of consecration is equal to the measure of love that we have to the Lord and to his holy city. The more we love the Lord, the more we will be willing to give ourselves to him. Truly wonderful. Amen. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Is there a need to give yourself up in the church, or is everything already taken care of? Is there a need in the church, or are there no needs? There's so many brothers here in Feigen, you don't need to give yourself here. There's enough already. There's no need. Or is there a need? I believe if we begin to give ourselves for the Lord, he will open our eyes to see the need. The city isn't finished yet. It's not that there's a lack of need. If you go in your mind from household to household of all the saints in the church, do you not see the need among the saints, among the brothers and sisters? The Lord must stir up our love for the saints, for him, because a drink offering has so much to do with the love to the Lord. This is so precious. There's one passage where David brought a drink offering, 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel 23. And the three among the 30 elders came to him there was a camp of Philistines drew water from the well of Bethlehem, which was by the gate. And David said, verse 15, okay, 14, 2 Samuel 23, 14. And David was then in the stronghold with the garrison, while the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David had a craving and said, oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water from the well of Bethlehem. How many breakthroughs do we have in the conference? A breakthrough to the Lord, a breakthrough for his plan. Let's say, Lord, I want to break through I want a breakthrough to draw water, especially from the well that is completely guarded by the enemies. This is the water I want to drink from. We need people who are willing to break through. I'm sure the Philistines fought against them, but the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines. Praise the Lord. In prayer, we need to break through. When there is a need or difficulty or a lack in the church, we need mighty men, heroes, calls them, who are willing to risk their lives. Lord, I want to stand in prayer until we break through to this well. We need this water from this well. The Lord is our David. The Lord has a craving. He wants to drink of this water from this well. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, stir up our love to the Lord for your house. They broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water from the well of Bethlehem. I'm sure it was they had to fight to get it, which was by the gate, and they took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but he poured it out to the Lord. I think this drink offering is a really special enjoyment for the Lord. It's a special offering. We hardly ever hear about it in our feasts and the Lord's table, but the Lord wants to change that. Through His love and through His Spirit, the Lord wants to encourage us to be willing to pour out our lives as a drink offering, that He can break through. Verse 17, 2 Samuel 23, 17. And He said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this, but shall I drink the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives?" It's really about the blood. We drink of the cup at the Lord's table, we should be reminded that the Lord poured out His blood for us. What is not worthy to give to the Lord? Our time, our strength, our perseverance. We heard it. We like things to be simple, quick, and comfortable. Yeah? This is the absolute opposite way of the drink offering. The drink offering has to do with perseverance. But in loving the Lord, when we love the Lord and we see what He left for us, we will also leave it for Him. Shall I drink the blood of men who went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, He would not drink it. These things the three mighty men did. Is that wonderful when the Lord can praise us in such a manner when He returns? Oh, there was a need in the church. And who wanted to give themselves for it? Ah, these three brothers or sisters gave themselves for this need in the church. We heard these days we all bear responsibility. So if we all give ourselves for the needs in the church, how can there be a lack? It will be impossible. Even if the Lord brings three times as many people as we are here today, it will be impossible that there will be a lack in the church or a need in the church. I want to read some verses from Joel, from the prophet of Joel, because he also talks about the drink offering. I read almost the whole book of Joel this morning. Or last night, it's really strong. Joel the prophet says, and the people were not in a good condition here. And in chapter 1, verse 9, Joel 1, verse 9, the grain offering and the drink offering are cut off from the house of the Lord. That means no one was willing to give themselves to the Lord. No one was willing to set aside their comfort to do what needs to be done in the house of the Lord. Then this love is not strong anymore. You look in the family, a newborn child, the parents give themselves fully to take care of their baby. You give up your sleep, you give up your health sometimes. Everything suffers for the sake of the children, but you do it out of love. And then a couple years later, you don't regret that you had children. Not at all. You love to give yourself for the children because there's a love. How is it with our love to the Lord? How is it with our love to the saints, to the church? How much do we give ourselves for the need of the church? I think there's a big need for drink offerings in the church. The priests mourn who minister to the Lord. Joel 1 verse 9. I told the Lord, I repent, Lord. I want to leave everything else and learn to pour myself out as a drink offering for the need in the house of the Lord. And then verse 13, Joel 1, 13. How can we change ourselves? How can we stir up the love anew? Shall we say 100 times a day, love the Lord? The best way to stir up your love to the Lord anew is to repent. The Lord said it to Ephesians. Think of where you have fallen from. Think, when was your best time with the Lord, where you gave yourself the most for the Lord, for the saints, for the church in joy, despite difficulties, despite tribulations? If you ever had a time like this in your life, think back on this time. Remember this time and say, Lord, I repent. I want to live a life like that. The Lord said, think from which you have fallen and repent and do the first works. It's really so good. Joel 1, verse 13, gird yourselves and lament, your priests. Wail, you who minister before the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, you who minister to my God. For the grain offering and the drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. O Lord, consecrate a fast, verse 14. Call a sacred assembly. You know, I think the Lord really wants us to do this, that we meet all together, maybe Saturday, and spend some time in fasting and prayer. I think we need that. The need in the church, why is it so large? Because the grain offering and the drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. And call a sacred assembly, not just the brothers. Of course, the brothers should be in the front line, but call all the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. Alas for the day, verse 15, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. The day of the Lord is coming. May the Lord really give us grace that we go on, that we go upwards and onwards. And we ask for the blessing of the Lord. For in Joel 2, we see the wonderful promise. Joel 2, verse 13. I read from verse 12 because it's all connected to the Lord's day. Joel 2, 12. Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, O Lord. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him? A grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God.
Amen. Hallelujah. So the Herr stärke uns alle.
May the Lord strengthen all of us in our love to him. Let us seek him. Let us enjoy him. Let us get to know him and experience his love that brings us to want to pour ourselves out as a drink offering for him and for his holy place. Yes, Lord, we praise you.